Good afternoon. Let's see, what is this? This is September 5th, 2026. And I'm sitting here in the Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina, about to make a talk. And the question is, do you know what you are? In 2002, which is 24 years ago, I wrote this in my journal: the consciousness of the presence of God is not dependent on what you know or don't know. The consciousness of the presence of God is not dependent on what you believe or don't believe. It is not dependent on your meditation or your prayers. The consciousness of the presence of God is not even dependent on whether you are alive or not. Lazarus was good and dead, and yet the consciousness of the presence of God functioned. The girl was dead and lying in her bed, but the consciousness of the presence of God functioned. Why? Because the consciousness of the presence of God is what I am. Now, do you know that to be true? The consciousness of the presence of God is the conscious awareness of the presence of God. Do you have the consciousness, the conscious awareness of the presence of God? Do you have it now? Are you able to turn inward and feel that presence? Are you able to listen and hear that presence? It matters not where you are. It matters not what you are going through. If you have the conscious awareness of the presence, you have, well, eternal life. You have abundant life. You have a wellspring of water that springs up into life everlasting. Be still a minute with me. See if you can't shed this material sense of life and feel, commune with the presence of God. I have seen that even when my car was broken down on the side of the road in Houston on the 4th of July, and there was no help around and no shops open, and it was raining, and I steered the car over to the orange barrels that were in the middle of the highway, and that's where it died. I turned the key, nothing, not a click, a click, absolutely nothing, nothing. I tried it again, I tried it again, and then I realized, wait a minute, let me turn within. And I did, I turned within right there on the highway, big 18-wheelers rolling by. I got as quiet as I could, as receptive as I could. And then it was upon me, the presence of God. I was consciously aware of that presence. And after I felt that presence, I tried it again, nothing. I tried it again, nothing. I tried it again, and it started right up. And I drove the rest of the way from Houston to Los Angeles. Never had another problem. Even when I turned it off and got a hotel room somewhere near Phoenix, I started it the next morning and it started right up. What is it about this consciousness of the presence? What is it about your conscious feeling, your conscious communion with the presence, that solves or eliminates, dissolves problems? And why does it dissolve problems? That which you are consciously aware of is what you live in. If you have the consciousness of a material sense of living or a material sense of life, you're going to have good and evil experiences. But if you let that go for a moment, stand stock still, you will feel this presence which I'm feeling now. And then when you open your eyes and return to your life, the presence goes before you to make the crooked places straight. The presence goes before you to prepare a place for you. The presence goes before you so that everywhere you go, you experience harmony. And so your conscious awareness of duality brings you all of your problems. But it also brings some good, too. That's the nature, good and evil, duality. However, if you can catch a feeling of the presence, then the presence of perfect being becomes your experience. And you say, wow, that was awesome. I had a perfect day. I made every green light. When I went to park, there was a parking space. When it was time to eat, there was a restaurant. It's wonderful, it's awesome to live in that state of harmony, to live in that state of synchronicity. But it's you that determines the state you're going to live in. If you're only conscious of a material sense of life, of good and evil, that's what you're going to experience, sometimes good, sometimes evil. But both of those, good and evil, are a part of a material sense of existence. And so if you drop that, if you stop, then you may feel the presence creep in. It soothes you. You know it's the presence, and thank you, Father. So, Joel suggests that you practice the presence. When you wake up in the morning, before you get out of bed, you remind yourself, the presence of God is here. Now. when you get up and you make yourself some coffee or some breakfast, the presence of God has set my table. Thank you, Father. You step out of the front door and you remind yourself, the presence of God is just as much on the other side of this door as it is on this side. Because where is that presence of God? In my consciousness. The infinite, eternal presence of God is in my consciousness. And so my consciousness is the presence of God. If so be that I have relinquished a material sense of I, then I open the door for a spiritual sense of I. I open the door to my presence. All of this is taking place within you. That's where this takes place. And if so be that this presence of God is upon you, then you are the child of God. You are the expression of the presence. And so we practice throughout the day. At work, the presence of God performs that which is appointed for me to do. On the way home, the presence of God goes before me to make the crooked places straight. The presence of God goes before me to open a way to travel so that I'm not bogged down with a bunch of delays. Yes, even where construction is going on, the presence of God can straighten that out too. Suddenly you realize, why, where are the construction workers? Oh, that's right. This is a long weekend. They've taken off for Labor Day. But I didn't know that when I started out. I only knew that the presence of God goes before me. Now, all of us are going to reach a time when it is time for us to move on. We are no longer going to be on Earth. We're going to move on. We're going to pass on. But even there, in the valley of the shadow of death, the presence goes before me. And prepares a place for me. So it behooves you and me to spend time with this so that we become accustomed to turning within and recognizing and realizing the presence of God. Years ago, I thought God must really love me, because every time I turn to God, harmony unfolds and abundance appears. But I've changed that view over the years. It's not that God loves me and is doing all these special things for me. No, it's that God is love. And in the presence of God, consciously realized, I experience that love. When I draw close to God, I feel that love. Because God is love, according to Scripture. We are told to cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. And that means cease from a material sense of man. We have to come into a manifestation that's not material. And in this invisible, incorporeal manifestation, without eyes, I can see. Without ears, I can hear. Without a brain, I still have thought. Who am I? I am the resurrection. See, I was mistaken in my younger years when I thought that a person was going to be resurrected. No. No and no. Your invisible, incorporeal being is resurrected from the tomb of a material sense of life. And so I am the resurrection. I feel that presence now. And it's not pushing, it's not instructing, it's just ising. It's just being. And I catch a glimpse of it. And I commune with that glimpse. I, in the midst of you, am the way. I, in the midst of you, am the truth. I, in the midst of you, am the life. The life, the truth, the way. Why struggle when you don't have to? Why push? Why kick against the pricks when you don't have to? God says to you, thou art ever with me, forever. All that I have is thine. Now, what does God have? Presence, spirit, incorporeality, eternality, immortality. Twenty-five years ago, I wrote this. There has never been one single death in the kingdom of heaven not one. Therefore, there has never been one single birth in the kingdom of heaven, not one. You were never born. Something was born. Something was in the cradle. Something was in the crib. Something was learning to walk. Something was learning to talk. And then later, something was learning to read and write and do arithmetic. That something is a material sense of life. It never was alive. It was never born. Behind all of that, in the silence of your being, you can feel God's presence. And that presence is life. That presence is the law onto my being. My conscious awareness of that presence is a law unto my being. If I do not have the consciousness, the conscious awareness of the presence, then I am not under grace. I am under the law of good and evil. 2. If I have the conscious awareness of the presence, I rest in that, and I bear witness to what it does. 1. It is all about turning within, standing in the center of your consciousness, standing stock still, and behold, I, the presence of God, come quickly. I come that you might have life eternal. I come that you might have abundant living. I come that you might experience your Father's love. Now, when you want to experience the warmth of sunshine, you go out and stand or sit or lay in the sun, and you feel its warmth. When you want the love of God, you stand still and watch. Almost like when you were a child and you watched out your window for Santa Claus. I'm not saying that God is Santa Claus. I'm saying watching. Watching is the same. But now you watch for the presence of the Almighty. And grace descends upon you. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't try to be worthy of it. You only bear witness to it. I bear witness, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all man, all manifestation unto me. Now, the grace of God is not something that you achieve or something that you figure out or something that you ask God for. The grace of God was given at the foundation of the world. You already have it. You must open out a way for that imprisoned splendor called grace to manifest. How? How? I have these money problems. I just don't seem able to do it. You're not supposed to be able to do it. You're supposed to refrain from doing it. You're supposed to stand ever so still and invite the Father. Father, fulfill thyself. Reveal thyself. I stand still and listen. I stand still and behold. So you already have the grace of God. And not only is the grace of God here, the grace of God is infinite, because your being is infinite. In love, we live and move and have our being. Be consciously aware of this. I love some of these dreams that I have. There are dreams that are just subconscious working out problems, but there are dreams that are definitely teaching, and I recognize when I have one. In this case, there was a false god that looked like Moses, and he wanted me to worship and believe in him. When I wouldn't, he sicked his two dogs on me. Two dogs of good and evil. They came at me to tear me apart. I grabbed one and held its head in my hands. The other vicious dog was behind me. I could feel its breath on my neck. Just then I prayed, God, the real God, help me. Instantly the dog in my hands disappeared, and my hands fell free. At the same instant, I awoke in bed. As my eyes opened gently to the dark room in the middle of the night, I said, thank you, God, and went back to sleep. Now this, of course, is the law versus grace. What do you want to live by? The false god of the Lord God, the law? Or do you want to live by grace, the real God? And so I was given that dream so that I could make a choice. And I choose God, the real God. The God at the center of my being, the God at the center of your being, the God at the center of all being. As for me and my house, we follow Christ. Christ is the presence of God at the center of being, the real God. In the early years of my spiritual walk, I discovered God is omnipresence. And there is nowhere I can go and be outside of that presence. Yes, I can forget about that presence. I can have my attention drawn to the material universe and get so caught up in its pictures that I forget about that presence. But usually that leads me into a very uncomfortable spot, as it did in my dream, where I'm fighting dogs, good and evil. And so Joel taught us how to practice the presence everywhere we go, so that we never forget. We do not get hypnotized out here. We remember omnipresence. Omnipresence, all presence. We remember to feel that presence, to know that presence, to realize that presence. That's all this whole thing has been about. First, to practice the presence. Then, to learn to be still inside. Then to discover the silence. Then to discover the presence exists and moves and lives in the silence. And finally, the presence lives as me, as you. Wherever that presence is realized, that presence lives. Now, it's always living there, just like the trees are always being trees. But on a foggy morning, I can't see them. But they're there. It is the same with the presence of God. Sometimes I can't feel it, but it is there. It is still there. This path is a path of inward realization. It's a path of inner communion. This is a path of knowing the truth, knowing what I am. I am the truth. I am the life. All life. I am the way. You would like to come home to me? Let me take you. I am the way. In my dreams, when I'm flying above the trees and I start to float down and I want to pump my arms, that's when the voice comes in and says, "Hey, I am here. You don't have to work that hard. Just rest back in me." And you rest back, and you are lifted effortlessly, higher and higher and higher. It's really quite remarkable up here, where the air is clean. And I realized the other day while watching the news, the wind is everywhere around this planet, around this world, and the birds are flying everywhere in the wind around this world. Everywhere. A bomb explodes and you look at the trees and the birds come up and fly away. It's really amazing. The birds are everywhere. The wind is everywhere. I am everywhere. Come on to me, all you that are heavy laden, heavy burden. And knowing me, I will give you rest. There remains a rest to the children of God. And what a rest that is. It's better than a week-long holiday in Kauai, floating on a hammock, ordering room service, listening to the waves as they lap against the shore. That rest is better. God's rest is better than that holiday. I've done both, so I know what I'm talking about. Please come home. Come home to me at the center of your being. I have come to give you the kingdom. It is my pleasure to give you the conscious awareness of my presence. My pleasure. I am happy. So come home. Come within. Sit down here. And drink from this wellspring of water. If you drink, if you become consciously aware of my presence, you will never thirst again. Because you will always know where to find me. I in the midst of you. Now, make it a point to remember consciously this presence. If you can, feel it. Feel it. Commune with the presence. Feel it inside. Feel it without. I have promised you, and I always keep my promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But you can forget about me. You can forget about me when you get caught up in how you're going to pay this bill when there's no money in the bank. You can forget about me when you get caught up in how are you going to get rid of this disease? It just doesn't seem to budge. You can forget about me when someone that you love passes on. Then you feel so alone, so that you cannot see me, you cannot feel me. But take your time, come back, read those scriptures which tell you that my love for you is forever. Remember what you knew before you got hurt. God doesn't move, we do. God is constantly ising. But we turn in a different direction. Yes, I know God's everywhere, but I have to pay this mortgage. They're going to take my house. Joel says you can't meet a problem on the level of the problem. So what are you going to do? There remaineth a rest. you're going to rest. Cease ye from all this thinking. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So cease from that thinking and rest. Take a breath. Rest. Be still. Rest. Be at ease. Rest. Behold, bear witness what manner of love the Father has that you should be called the child of God. And there remaineth a rest to the child of God. Years ago, you are not omnipresent. You are omnipresence. When you rest, then you can receive the grace of God. When you rest, when you don't take up arms, not even mental arms, then a stone is cut out of the mountain without hands. A stone is cut out of the mountain without the mind. And the stone cut out of the mountain is the very answer you were looking for. Take no thought. Just rest. Be at peace. I am here. It is I. Be not afraid. You rest here. Only rest. In a moment you rest, I am come. Almost 30 years ago, I wrote, "We live and move and have our being in the kingdom of God. It is our misperception of that kingdom that appears as this world. But in reality, we are already in the kingdom. In the stillness, in the silence, as you rest, God can awaken you to the kingdom that already surrounds you eternally. And so, rest. Rest from all your thought-taking. Rest from all your planning, and rest from all your scheming. Rest from all your seeking, and in the moment of rest, when you are not seeking, when you are letting, then the presence of God reveals itself. It just flows into your being. You feel it, you recognize it. Ah, thank you, Father. God is. Eight years ago, if it is not received as an impartation, it is not real. And finally, 22 years ago, there was a large audience, and a spiritual teacher was up in front. I went up and gave him a huge, ferocious hug. While hugging him, I leaned back and looked up into his eyes, and I thought, "I love you so much." He looked down at me and then looked again, a double take. And he said, "You really have healed completely, haven't you?" Then he withdrew from my embrace, and he and several others started to fall on their knees and bow down before me. I was very uncomfortable. I started to object, and they stopped. But then I realized that it wasn't me they were bowing down to. They were bowing down to the God within me. So I relaxed and allowed them to recognize and pay tribute to the God within me. There was no feeling of ego, just observing them and allowing it to happen. You see, there remaineth a rest. Again and again and again it is pointed out to me, what do you have to do? You have to rest. Rest back. Rest in the presence. Rest in your conscious awareness of the infinite presence. That's what you have to do. And in resting, you bear witness. You actually see the invisible hand of God reaching right up through consciousness out into the so-called world. This is a marvelous way to live. To know through practice that there remaineth a rest to the children of God. It takes some work to remember this. I remember one time I had a test in college, and I overstudied. You know, you can do that. You can reach a place where you study too much. And I overstudied, and I was having a hard time because I was about to have a test. But then I remembered God. And I remembered I could rest. That there was a presence that goes before me to make the crooked places straight. And I rested. And I went into the room and I took the test and I aced it, of course. Another time, I was in a hospital. My wife's mother was there, and she wasn't expected to live too long. And I went into her room, and in the silence, I said, "How about you give her one more year so she can say goodbye?" And I don't know, it just felt right. So I said it within myself. Well, she got better and better and better. And eventually the hospital discharged her and she went home, and almost 1 year to the day, I think it was off by one day, she passed away. 1 year. It's amazing. This is amazing what happens. You kind of walk between the raindrops. My first spiritual teacher did that. He went somewhere, and he was kind of a smart aleck, but he was right. He went somewhere, and the people there said, "How come you're not wet? It's raining outside." And he said, "Well, I walked between the raindrops." But he was human, too. He still had that side. I caught him one time in a church meeting, and he was going around from table to table eating all the green jelly beans. He liked the green ones. Well, the man saved my life. I could never do anything but love him. I love him. And I know he's far advanced now. I know that when he left here, he rocketed forward on the path. But I'll see him in a little while. No, I'm not planning on kicking the bucket, but a little while to me is a handful of years. All right, so there remaineth a rest to the children of God. Are you a child of God? If so be that the Spirit of God dwells upon you, if you are consciously aware of the presence, yes, you are a child of God. And all the promises are yours. All of them. That you might have life and life more abundantly. That I will never leave you nor forsake you. That your name is written in heaven. That you are heir and joint heir with Christ. In the original book, The Infinite Way, published in 1947, Joel says, "Your real existence is as spirit." And here I am wandering around getting all crazy about material things, material supply, material companionship, material health, everything that is material, my house, my car, my this, my that. But our real existence is as spirit. Now, if we turn within, as we have been saying for an hour now, and find that moment of rest and commune with the Spirit within, then we feel that presence, and there remaineth a rest. There's nothing to do, there's nothing to know, there's only this moment of rest. And standing still, I behold, look, the invisible hand of God reaching right up through consciousness. I see it, I feel it. I rest in it. What a wonderful, whole feeling to feel whole. Yes, that produces a feeling of rest. Ah, thank you, Father. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to know. I rest in you. Thy will be done. So, this talk is going to be called Rest, of course. And I pray that each and every one of you finds this inner rest in which you take no thought, in which you make no plans, in which you simply watch. Like when you, up here in the mountains, when it's supposed to snow for the first time, you go outside and you watch, and silently it comes down a little, and a little more. Soon there is snow falling everywhere, quietly. And me, I simply rest and look. I rest and wait. This should become our way of living. Rest and wait. Now that doesn't mean don't do anything. Just sit on your couch and wait for the world to shower its blessings at your feet. No, that's not what I mean. I mean you do the work that's put in front of you to do. But while you do the work, inside you rest. You see? I'm going to be building this project or drawing up the plans for a house. But I'm also going to be resting. Father, reveal thyself. Reveal thy plan. I rest. You see, you do both. You work and you rest. You rest and you work. And your resting from anxious thought-taking brings the opportunity for even greater rest. Have you ever been working out in the sun and it's hot and you're sweaty and you're uncomfortable and you decide to take a break and you walk over where the shade is near the garage and you pull up a plastic chair and sit in it? You're resting. You're in the shade, in the shadow of the Almighty. Here comes a cool breeze blowing on you. Ah, yes, a rest. It is the same on the spiritual path. You're trying to figure out a principle and how do I apply it and why hasn't it worked, and suddenly you remember, oh yes, I rest in thee. Father, fulfill thyself. And you take a moment to rest. And then that which you were working on suddenly falls together. Every little piece comes together. It's almost magic. But that's what happens when you rest and let God fulfill itself. So, this Labor Day weekend, why don't you rest? Just rest and see what happens in your world. Your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. You rest. I will function. And I will bring them to you. Please, this weekend, try to develop that resting. and know that I will be resting with you. And together we shall usher in the invisible presence of God. And one here and one there, and one here and one there, we will usher in the presence of God on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you. God bless you. I love you. Now rest.